You're not sick, Amelia, no.
No?
No, you're a little farsighted.
This is the Farsighted Network.
This is the Farsighted Network.
This is the Farsighted Network.
Thanks for listening.
Enjoy the show.
Hey everybody!
Hey everybody!
Hey everybody!
I don't know which voice. Anyway, hey everybody! Welcome back to Cage Match. This is going to be our first episode of our new improved 2.0 Cage Match,
Woo!
Where we have already mentioned this publicly, but we haven't officially welcomed our third member of what's the dynamic duos too? So like Triumphant Trio.
I think we have to think about that for a little bit.
Okay, well, for now, it's going to be the Triumphant Trio, but we can get better. We can get better than that. That's pretty shitty.
Yeah.
Yeah. But...
terrible.
I just kept on thinking about Fatal 4-Way from last night.
No.
Yeah. We also watch wrestling together. There weren't any cage matches, ironically.
I know. There needs to be more.
Yeah. But Loki, who was our guest on the previous episode, is now officially a member of the podcast. Hi, Loki.
Hello.
Yay.
Basically, once I get involved in something, I just dig my claws as deep inside as I can.
So you guys can't see because this is in audio format, but we're going to present Loki with her official Cage Match t-shirt.
Oh my god.
She's so surprised.
I have literal tears in my eyes.
I may or may not have texted her moments ago asking her size.
She's crying and she's throwing up.
But she is going to look beautiful, and I think that's the only thing that matters.
Yeah. It is true.
Perfect.
It looks fantastic.
It's absolutely beautiful. Thank you so much.
Well,
Thank you. We're so organized now.
I know. It's interesting how I, as soon as adding you on, I started to organize shit, and I was like, I could have done this from the beginning. But no.
Loki effect.
It is.
It is. Yeah. I think it's the accountability thing, because there's like another person who's like, I have to keep things like chaotic, but like organized chaos. So if you have someone else looking at it, you're like, that makes me want to do it too.
It's fair.
Or it was that I threatened to hurt you, but
well, all those things work together
just a little bit
in conglomeration.
She has a gun pulled on both of us at this very moment.
Shut up.
We're gonna start our podcast with a toast. We don't have a specific drink as we once did, but we all have drinks in front of us.
I have three.
Actually,
drinks.
You guys have three. You have three. You have two, and I have one.
I finished one in the time. I had three, but now I only have two.
Okay, I only have one, but I'm gonna cheers my coffee, your water, and your coffee.
Irish coffee.
And L'chaim. I'm not Jewish.
No.
Cheers.
Cilantro.
Cilantro.
Isn't it
cilantro?
Isn't that,
yes, it's
cilantro.
Don't tell me about my
Irish
culture.
Wait, that's not even your culture, right? Because are you
Irish.
Irish? Are you?
Yeah.
What are you?
What?
Well, you're also Italian, right?
Yeah, but I'm like, so my mom's like 45% Italian, but I'm only like 15% Italian.
Too many percentages.
Isn't that weird?
I thought that percentages were something you weren't allowed to do. You told me it was transphobic to ask you to do math.
No, just like a simple addition and like multiplication.
Biphobic. I can't even speak.
Yeah.
Whatever. All right, so let's talk about actual stuff. We have a Blu-ray to give away this month, which is actually going to be tied into why we're covering this month's movie, which is Willy's Wonderland. Yeah, I guess we can basically dive right into the movie here. We're already diving right into this synopsis thing. And like I said, the reason we chose this is at Scream Factory. Are you guys familiar with Scream Factory?
No.
No.
Well, then I'm going to tell you and the listeners what Scream Factory is. Scream Factory is a boutique Blu-ray and, well, I guess technically they used to make DVDs as well, but I don't know if they still do, label that puts out special editions of all different movies from like really old ones to newer ones. And they just are putting out two editions of a Blu-ray and a 4K Blu-ray of this particular film. Scream Factory is a sub-label of Shout Factory. Shout Factory does a whole bunch of stuff that's not horror. Scream is their horror label.
Oh. Scream and Shout.
Yeah.
I love it.
And they sent us one to give away, and so we're excited to be doing that.
Thanks,
so,
friends. I did just put it in my bag, though, so...
Okay, well, I will be taking that back before you leave.
Fine.
You have to fist fight if you win.
So the winner will get to have a one-on-one fight versus Loki.
Bare knuckle boxing.
We will make Loki be one-armed because it's not fair otherwise.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Have either of you seen the film before today? Or before this preparing?
No, I had not. I actually didn't even know it existed, but I read the synopsis and I was like, sign me up. All
right. Yeah, the only expectation I went in with this movie is that Nick Cage doesn't talk.
See, and I didn't even know that.
That delighted me. And I was like, I'm in.
All right. That's fair. I have seen this movie. I wanted to see it in the theater, but then they did the day and date thing, so it was also free to watch on Hulu the same day. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to not go see it in the theater because I don't want to spend money. And I enjoyed it quite a bit, but I'm gonna read the IMDb. Or actually, you know what, Murder? I'll let you read the IMDb synopsis because you have a better voice than me.
Hashtag blessed. Okay, a quiet drifter is tricked into a janitorial job at the now-condemned Willy's Wonderland. The mundane tasks suddenly become an all-out fight for survival against wave after wave of demonic animatronics. Fist, fly, kicks, land, titans clash, and only one side will make it out alive.
I think it's a pretty good synopsis, actually.
Yeah, that covers all the important parts.
So yeah. I think the podcast is over. No, I'm just kidding.
Have a good night, everybody. Wait, is it daytime?
So... Before I get into some pertinent info, some other notes about the film itself, I know, Murderer, you often like to look at Rotten Tomatoes reviews.
They delight me.
And they delight you. Did you have any favorites that stuck out when you looked at the reviews of this one?
I have four.
Okay.
And they're pretty quick ones.
Okay.
So the first one is, Nick Cage didn't speak, it completely wasted him, which I disagree. I think it showed his strengths. the next one is, this was a film. And that's the whole review. That's it.
I do that when there's movies I don't particularly love. I'll be like, well, that was a movie.
That was the whole thing. Sophia says, this movie ruined my life. My kids are gone. My wife is gone. My home was sold. I'm poor and addicted to gambling now.
I don't think that's correct.
I bet you she's lying.
I just want Sophia to know that... You know, there are worse films out there where Nick Cage talks, so it could have been
worse. Actually, it could be true, those things, but they're probably not related.
Yeah, it seems unrelated.
I didn't mention that I also got into heroin. Yeah.
And then my last one, my favorite one is, I went into this film thinking it could not be that bad of a movie. I was both right and wrong at the same time.
Ooh. I like that.
I think that's like kind of the best way to describe this film.
Yeah, I like that. So, I don't know. You have a child the same age as one of mine, Loki.
I do have a child.
We have a child.
Okay. So I don't know how ingrained in the Five Nights at Freddy's stuff.
Yeah.
But my kids are certainly into that. And
I'm so glad you brought that up, Justin.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd like what to is discuss. The connection?
Well, this was... it's not confirmed, but it's likely noted to be one of the scrapped Five Nights at Freddy's scripts.
So...
There were dozens, like literally dozens of scripts over the past 10 years that got thrown out.
Yeah.
Huh.
I did.
Yeah.
I have contrary information.
Okay.
That, but maybe not.
Banana Splits.
There's speculation.
The movie Banana Splits that came out a couple years ago. And if you haven't seen it, it's a lot of fun.
Oh, I haven't.
And it's based on the Banana Splits TV show from way back when, except it's not really. It's really more like it's Five Nights at Freddy's.
Like, yes, but no.
It's Five Nights at Freddy's, basically. It's also, that one is confirmed to be a thrown out, you know, Five Nights at Freddy's script.
Oh, okay.
That they retooled. The writer of this film claims it wasn't.
Right.
But most people have said he's full of shit.
So I was trying to figure that out because on initial watching, almost immediately into it, because of Five Nights at Freddy's and like my kid being into that, and that was my first experience with like animatronics coming alive violently. I went, this is very, the same feel, the same vibe. So then I was like, is it based on it? And like loosely based on it? Like, because it came out, you know, years before they made the movie for Five Nights at Freddy.
Mm-hmm.
But so everything I found said that there was a short film Willy's Wonderland, but it was actually Wally's Wonderland.
Okay.
But they changed the name because copyright or something for Wally's Wonderland. Okay. In 2015, and the first Five Nights at Freddy's game also came out that same year.
Okay.
So, like, it could be, or it could be, like, weirdly coincidental, which I also am willing to accept because...
There are a lot of those examples, like, in that weird, like, zeitgeist world of, like, ideas coming up at the same time.
Yeah.
That happens.
But also, like, any of us who experienced those places...
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I mean, you can't say from childhood trauma you didn't ever think that those things were going to come alive and come at you.
That was a recurring nightmare. Because I went to Chuck E. Cheese. You know the bird? I can't remember her name at Chuck E. Cheese.
I don't, but I know who you're talking about.
But I would, like, go to Chuck E. Cheese as a child and just stare into her eyes and just remember that and have the weirdest nightmares of her pecking my fucking face out. And then in Willy's Wonderland, that was the first thing that happened was the ostrich came out and was like, I'm going to peck your eyeballs out. And I, like... got a little nervous. So I think you're totally right. I think it is like a thing that we all, like, as a generation have
thought of,
and then it all just came out at once.
Yeah, it's certainly possible that it's not related.
Because the game came out first, right? Five Nights at Freddy's came out first.
The game came out around the same time as this short film.
Okay.
Yeah. So
and then they made a movie out of Five Nights at Freddy's.
Right, and there are literally like 10 plus known thrown out scripts for that movie.
Right.
Wild.
And one of them became Banana Splits. Like, that's
confirmed. Yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I feel like nobody wants to really answer that question.
I made it.
Okay.
I was the one.
Before we get into the actual film, I want to highlight the cast. And by the cast, I don't mean the actual cast. I mean the characters in the band.
Yes!
Right. So Wally, or not, sorry, you messed me up. Willy Weasel is kind of the leader of the gang.
Yeah.
Siren Sarah.
Yeah,
I hate her. She's a raging bitch.
Fuck that bitch.
For real, yeah. There's Tito Turtle.
I kind of liked her. Oh, sorry.
I love Tito.
Moving on to Tito. We'll get into details about them later, Tito hopefully. Turtle.
Yeah, oh, we'll okay, definitely get into details.
It's just an introduction.
Oh, no, Siren is one of the more interesting.
Yeah.
Because Tito Turtle, I barely even remember.
Oh, yeah. I love this guy.
Artie Alligator's the alligator who's an artist.
He has a beret.
He wears a beret.
Yeah. That's the only thing that makes him a tricks.
I like that the knight's name is Nighty Knight.
Yeah, that's cute.
Yeah.
Whoever thought having an animatronic with a giant broadsword that works was a good idea.
Yeah.
That was bad. Yeah. That was really bad.
Yeah.
Scary. There's Gus Gorilla.
Yeah.
And, of course, there's Ozzy Ostrich.
Yeah.
Who's probably one of the scariest, I think.
Yeah.
And they were possessed by the souls of a killer called
Cammy Chameleon.
Yes, I'm old. I only wrote down seven. There are
Cammy!
Eight.
Cammy!
With her beautiful rainbow skin.
We're like, sorry. Is she a frog? And they were like, oh no, she's a chameleon. Got it.
Yeah, so
I was
her.
Like, is she a unicorn? Like a really ugly one?
Well, thank you for making sure. I wrote them down and I left one out. I know there's eight. Now I'm counting. I only have seven. So there you go. Okay. They were possessed by the souls of the Crazy Eight.
Yes.
Who were some psycho killer assholes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so that said, I'm gonna actually talk about the film itself and what we thought of the film. So I'm gonna kick us off and just say I enjoyed it. I enjoy this film quite a bit, but you know, most of the time in this podcast I enjoy a good chunk of the films because I like Nick Cage. But in this particular situation, I don't know that it really, even though I think he's good in the film, I think I enjoyed the film for what it was, no matter who was in it. Like, I think it was just, if you're going into this film looking for anything more than big, dumb fun, you're going in it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But it's big, dumb fun. So what do you think, Loki?
I also thoroughly enjoyed the film. It was just a fun time. Yeah. That's the best way to describe it. Yeah. Like, yeah. I enjoyed it right off the cuff, like, dug into it. I actually really enjoyed the way that it is filmed. It was kind of when I started watching it, I don't know if you, Murder, have seen it, but I know Justin has, but if you've seen, like, Turbo Kid.
Oh, yeah.
It kind of gave that same kind of vibe, like, the way that it's filmed.
Sure.
Which I also enjoyed that. It's kind of, it gives an 80s vibe, but without being, like, shitty looking. I don't have a better way to say it.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. It's
or even like a music video vibe in the beginning.
I can see that. I can see that. The particular director, I looked him up. I've seen nothing else he's done.
I also did that too, and I was like, nope.
Yeah, I was like, oh, look, he did some movie with some future Playboy person that looks like some dumb sex comedy. And then I was like, And then I keep going through and I go, oh, he's done a bunch of things I've never heard of. And the last movie he directed before this one was almost a damn decade prior. So, yeah.
I'd watch it again. And I think that's important to note for me with films. Like, if things are okay, I probably won't ever watch them again. But I would watch it again. I would watch it with friends. And I would certainly watch it while drinking.
Right. I was sober with it, watching it this time. Don't think I was the first time I saw it. But I enjoyed it both times. How about you?
I was also sober watching it because it was at 9 in the morning.
Oh, fair.
Today.
Yeah. I may or may not have done the same thing this particular time.
Yeah. I watched it yesterday afternoon because I'm prepared.
I really liked it. I mean, Nick Cage not talking was a big thing for me. Mm-hmm. I think it actually made me like him a little bit more. Ooh. Just because I think he did a lot with the not talking.
Okay.
Just like his body language and his like mannerisms, and it showed his character even though he wasn't speaking.
Right.
I also liked the way it was filmed. I thought it was more like a video game, like the way that it was filmed, like a first person video game where it's like something's happening so you can see like the whole room. And then like when he goes to do stuff, like he like throws the can in the trash can and then like fights the dude, like, and then it kind of like zones in a little bit more. I kind of really like that. I liked how it was filmed.
I loved the timer going off for his breaks and he had to take them even if he was in an open fight.
Like, oh, yeah, absolutely. There were this man had priorities and he stuck to those priorities.
I just thought it was so funny when he had that girl involved and then that
he hands her the knife and walks off for his break.
And tries to kill her and the beeper goes off and he hands it and he just leaves. And there's just awkward silence. And it was so good.
And like she looked at him like, where are you going? Yeah, like what are you doing? Fuck?
And even the chameleon was like,
yeah.
Do we
keep going or are we waiting? Yeah. I like that he handed her the knife before he walked away. He was like, okay, here you go.
Like, here you go. BRB. I'm going to go play some pinball.
So we'll come back to Nick. But besides Nick, let's talk about the things we liked, the things we didn't like. Loki, I think you have significant notes on the kills.
I do.
So let me turn it over to you first about what you liked, you didn't like, and talk to me about those kills.
Okay. I mean, I think that it's important to note what the like general concept was.
Sure.
I mean, going, I'm always like, is it a spoiler? But I guess if you're listening to this, you want to.
Well, and we should note that there will be some spoiling now. However,
there will for sure be spoiling.
I will also note that if you want to pause and go back and watch it and come back, it is playing on Hulu right now. So you can go do that.
Yeah.
And Tubi if you don't feel like paying for Hulu, as long as you don't mind commercials.
And if you need a Hulu login, just message me.
But yeah, it is on Tubi, which is free because Tubi is also owned by Fox. So they probably share a lot of the movies that they put on. So,
oh, yeah, that's cool. Right into this, like, watching it, I immediately was like, this is, like, Five Nights at Freddy's meets Chucky.
Okay.
Because of the satanic ritual of a serial killer getting put into, like, a body that is not human.
Mm-hmm. I like that comparison.
Yeah, that's I almost feel like it was kind of intentional because you're, like, dipping into, like, those 80s horror movies.
Sure, and you did mention that some of the filming style has a bit of an 80s vibe to it, so yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, even the tropes are very 80s with, like, the kids that are involved in their group and, like, each of them fits into, like, a certain trope.
Except that she keeps her friggin' top on. That pisses me off. But anyway, you know.
Yeah. I was like, I don't know, man. I don't like a sexy lace bra. Like, leave it alone. Leave a little mystery. Listen,
I'm just saying, if we're going 80s, you gotta have some boobs, and there were no full boobs.
But they were like, of course, they all like smoked some weed, and two of them bone. Like as a result, they're dead now. Right. Like that general.
And one of them killed in the midst of boning.
I know.
So tell us about the kills. I want to hear what your thoughts are.
Okay, so I actually have them in order.
Nice.
Some of it's just like small notes, but so Ozzy Ostrich dies first. Mm-hmm. The immediate thing I thought of, you may not be a fan out there, but I am, and I know a lot of us at this table are, all I could think of was Dee from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Oh my god.
When it was just standing behind him.
Incredible. That episode where she's actually an
ostrich. Yeah, where she's physically an ostrich.
And everybody's like, I'm a beast on your soul. And I was like, oh my god, Dee, get out of here.
That's funny.
You damn bird.
But the kill went from like, number one, he sees this ostrich and there's zero reaction. Just nothing. It's just like, yeah, okay. There's an animatronic ostrich threatening me.
He's told he's supposed to clean the place.
Yeah, and that, he's like, so.
It feels like within moments of the door being locked, he's attacked.
Yeah, absolutely he is. He I think it's just a man who loves his Camaro.
Right.
And he wants it back. And that is the priority. Hmm. So that's what we're going for.
He does have a lot of movies where he loves cars.
Yeah.
It's interesting. But
I mean, yeah, if you put a lot of time and effort and value into your car, I can see why that would be really important.
Sure.
It's an investment. Mm-hmm. Okay, so back to Ozzy. Ozzy gets like a Mortal Kombat Sub-Zero style kill.
Oh, yeah.
Like spine ripped straight out of the body. And I think it'll lead to the other kills. There are many Mortal Kombat-like kills where maybe the writers are also super nerdy like us.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's quite possible.
And like, who's not going to like that?
Yeah, I felt it was so video gamey, I think, because of the way they were killed, too.
Right.
If we move on to Gus.
Okay.
Gus Gorilla. He was the second to die. And he just straight up curb stomped this animatronic onto a toilet.
Wild.
It is wild.
Yeah.
Also an obscure reference for me, but I immediately dubbed it the potty kiss, which is technically from another show, and it's not doing that. It's smashing somebody's head into a wall behind a urinal.
Oh.
But it's almost the same thing. Okay. It's like a potty kiss times 9,000.
It feels like a potty French kiss.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like I feel more tongue. I feel like John Wick does that at least once in the series as well. He throws somebody's head right through a
urinal. Oh, for sure. There's some John Wick level fights in here sure.
Like, I kind of want to see the Drifter and John Wick get at it.
I don't know if the Drifter would win that one.
No, he'd be dead. But
John Wick
like
is
to see
a man
it.
Of sheer will.
He is.
He fell down 450 steps.
Stop. We're not going into that. We'll do a separate John Wick podcast. So I can be mad at you. Okay. Nighty Knight was the next one to die.
Mm-hmm.
He looks like Yosemite Sam.
With a broadsword and a knight. Yeah, he does. He has the Yosemite Sam mustache for sure.
Oh, yeah. But, like, the ultimate act of just, like, I don't know, embarrassment, being decapitated by your own broadsword.
I know.
Yeah, that is pretty
How
good.
How upsetting.
Really gave me the ick.
Artie Alligator, which I already went over this before, but I was really confused why he was wearing a beret until I looked up his name, so now I feel better. He had his jaw ripped wide open.
Oh my god, that was so cool!
So crazy.
Have you ever seen the movie Mirrors? It's a horror movie. I don't remember from when.
I feel like I have. It sounds familiar.
That's all I could think of. It's not the only time people's jaws get ripped off in movies, though, but there's a scene and the girl is in the bathtub and she rips her own head open. In that same manner.
Oh my god.
So if you want to see a really gross kill scene, look up that from Mirrors.
Mine was...
And that's what Artie Alligator...
If you want a much more comedic version of that, you can think of in Beetlejuice when he literally pulls his jaws out and turns his face into the
that's
weird
shape.
That's
what it reminded me of.
Yeah.
But this bitch went dark.
I'm sorry. I was like, why have I seen something like that before? Yeah. And then I had to know what it was. And then who was next? Cammy Chameleon with the 180-degree neck snap.
Nice.
Classic action movie.
Yeah.
Just go, I can't, you don't know what I'm doing because you can't see me, but you do.
It's the head twist.
It's like. Sarah Siren. I have a note that says, can you strangle an animatronic?
Well,
and
I think the answer is
couldn't.
The answer is clearly no is, when we find her crawling out of the trash later.
Yeah, so she ends up still being alive, so she didn't actually die.
Yeah.
But she does, to me, look like a beautiful amalgamation of Melina and Tinkerbell.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. She's pretty horrifying, too.
Yeah, when her mouth does its mouth thing.
Yeah.
When her mouth do that mouth thing, I don't like it. But
yeah,
it's
like
Tinkerbell
without
her
mouth.
What that mouth do.
Yeah, but she looks a lot like Tinkerbell.
But why is she a fairy? I
don't know. That's what I was trying to... That was a little upsetting.
That's why I was upset about that.
She's a fairy.
I saw Sarah Siren and got really excited that there was going to be
I guess just because she sings. But like...
But, you know.
But I like how like... Most of them are animals, except for the knight and her. Like
they
just hang out with animals. Like
yeah.
They're like,
kind of
like Doolittle, you know.
Yeah.
But isn't, I think that's also a Five Nights at Freddy's thing because there is like one that's not like an animal. The one girl too, whatever.
No, I think they're all animals.
I'm not quite sure. I don't really know.
I don't know either. We'd have to look that up.
I'm not gonna pretend to know
for
enough.
The next time.
Yeah, right.
Tito Turtle was forgettable.
Sure.
I thought he was beat to death with a shotgun. Like an unloaded shotgun. But that was actually not accurate because he didn't die then either.
Mm.
But he did get death by Camaro.
Oh, right. Yeah. That's fair.
And our boy Willy Weasel who looks like Weasel from Suicide Squad.
Yeah, it does.
Just a side note.
Yeah.
More nerd things.
At least he's in more of the movie and not like Weasel Suicide Squad who gets killed like that.
Was beat to death with a burlap sack filled with punch drink. Right. Which, is it a soda? Is it an energy drink? Is it a beer with caffeine?
So on the back it says pop.
Does it?
Yeah, then there's something that says caffeine.
The side says like caffeine thing. It does say something about like something about the amount of caffeine in it or something like
that. Yeah. My initial thought when I saw it the first time in the movie was Jolt Cola.
Yeah.
That's like what I immediately
I can see that. So it's almost like, what if Jolt was a fruit punch?
Oh, I remember when they bought Jolt Cola back in the early 2000s.
I think a lead pipe was involved as well in Willy's. He had a pipe and a burlap sack of sodas.
I know that usually when I beat people with burlap sacks of sodas, I also include a lead pipe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But all of the kills were like actual action movie fight scenes.
Yeah.
Which I really enjoyed because I love like a over-the-top action film. And
in addition,
back to like old school Nick Cage and the films that he was in before. Love to see that dude fight.
So, Murder, you have some thoughts about the stuff besides Nick?
Oh, the stuff besides Nick?
Yeah, we're going to get into Nick, I promise.
Okay, because there's like... Anyway. I don't know. I really did feel like it was like an 80s horror movie. Mm-hmm. I really did like that. Like how it almost seemed like kind of tongue-in-cheek. Like the bad girl that has like a traumatic past and like the dude that's like woefully in love with her and like the slutty one that's like actually really resourceful and like the one who's like a hothead and you know just like the random stoner. Like I kind of like loved the 80s horror movie trope that they had going on. I really appreciated that. But I also appreciated Beth Grant, character actress Beth Grant. I want to talk about her all the time, every day, because every single movie that she's in, it's always like a minor part or like a supporting part, and she always kills it. I fucking love her. She's great.
So she in this movie, she is like the sheriff of the town. Clearly, we find out that she has a deal with Willy Weasel, that she's going to feed them souls, you know.
Yeah.
Of course, then Willy kills her. Like, literally just rips her in half.
Yeah.
And I also
thought
it was...
That was a good kill, too.
It was.
I thought it was really interesting, and maybe I'm thinking too deep into this, but I thought it was interesting how, like, she saved that girl, and she, like, kept her and she raised her, because, like, her parents died at Willy's.
Right.
But it sounded like from, like, the beginning that they made this, like, pact with Willy, like, hey, we're gonna feed you. Just, like, stop killing the people that, like, come in here randomly. It seemed like she was trying to be almost like Dexter about it, where she was just like, oh, we'll get the bad people or people with like low moral fiber.
Yeah, she said low moral or the occasional random drifter.
Yeah, or like they originally intended for it to like not be innocence, but then it turned into like everything. And I thought it was kind of like a nod to capitalism, where like the dude was like, who owned the building, Texas Pete, I don't know what his name is.
Yeah, that sounds
good. Which is also Pete. One of my favorite hot sauces.
Yeah, it's Texas Pete. And they were, you know, stealing cars, and it kind of like all went to their heads, where they were like, they went from like trying to protect the town to trying to profit from this horrible, horrible thing that happened in their town. And it just like was very interesting to me to see like the corruption that was happening like over time. But also maybe I'm thinking about it too deep.
No, I think so too, because they were upset about the fact that they had to do it. And then you have Nicolas Cage's character in there essentially eliminating the problem. Yep. And they're upset that he's eliminating the problem.
Because they won't benefit from it anymore.
Right, exactly. Yeah. They were like, because you get like halfway through and she realized he's killed several of them. So you would think if the whole concept was to keep the town safe, you'd be like, all right, cool, man. Keep doing what you're doing. But she was, like, upset that...
So she ties him up and feeds him to them, and then he still kills them.
Yeah. But it's like she kind of, like, formed this weird relationship with them.
Yeah, this weird alliance.
Is ultimately just as evil as they were.
Right.
Yeah,
for sure. In addition to all the kills you highlighted, and we highlighted one of the sheriff, several kids are killed.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, whatever.
But they're, like, in general, I think they all die except for the main girl that comes in.
Yeah, final
and,
girl.
Sarah Siren.
Who?
No.
Despite the fact that she's, like, I don't know, half the age of Nick Cage, I feel like she's falling in love with him at the end. I swear to God. I don't know. Unless she's just thinking of like a father figure.
That's what I was thinking.
Okay, I hope so.
Maybe. Like, I feel like...
And he doesn't do anything inappropriate. He hands her a drink. No. Like, he's cool.
No, they definitely like... It almost... When they first saw each other, it's almost like they were imprinting on one another.
They definitely were, yeah.
And I didn't see it most... Like a romantic kind of thing. I thought of it more like, oh, he's what I've been trying to be. Because I've been trying to burn this place to the ground. And I've been trying to destroy it. And I've been trying to make this, like, not happen to our town anymore. And this guy's actually fucking doing it. And, like, I think I can learn from him and grow. And, like, do more of that. Like, yeah. It seems like... I would love if this movie was successful enough to have, like, a follow-up of just that, too.
There is supposedly a sequel in the works, but... Who knows?
Yeah.
And I mean, I guess it would have to be Siren, or it'd have to be a prequel or something.
Well, I would like to see them, like, travel together and he trains her and then they take over Chuck E. Cheese. Oh. That's what I would love to see.
Chuck E.'s a big boss, though. I don't know. That's tough.
Could you imagine? I don't associate it with Chuck E. Cheese because I was in the South. We had Showbiz Pizza, which was infinitely more terrifying than Chuck E. Cheese.
Is that the one with... There's one that had a band called the Rockafire Explosion.
Maybe.
I don't know. It might have been.
I got a Wikipedia that shit.
I don't know. Yeah.
It doesn't exist anymore.
There was also some like standalone one in like Central Jersey that I went to growing up too, besides Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah, just like some dude.
Yeah. I mean,
Was it Freddy's Funhouse? Or...
No. It was not Freddy Fazbear's Pizza or whatever.
Oh, actually, there were two.
Oh, Showbiz Pizza is a big thing.
Yeah, Showbiz Pizza was like. Yeah. I think they ultimately merged with Chuck E. Cheese, and then they all became Chuck E. Cheese's, but it was its own chain of those things. It was like a bear. I don't remember. Yeah. But just two other really.
Yes, please. Before we get into Cage, what else?
I loved the oil for blood.
Oh, yes. Right. That's cool.
So he's like splattered in oil and like your brain is like, yep, that's their blood.
Yeah.
Which also, again, just takes me back to Mortal Kombat.
Yeah. Mm.
Like Cyrax and Noob Saibot.
Oh, yeah. Whatever. When you kill them, they spit out the...
And your brain is like, yeah, they're dying.
Or like even the non-human characters have like weird like... Different colored green, blood or something. Yeah, it's cool.
There's no way they're surviving that much oil loss.
And there's one quote, like halfway through the film from Liv, which is the girl we were talking about, where she says he's not trapped in there with them.
Oh,
they're trapped in there with him.
I love that shit.
Do you like, did you watch The Watchmen?
Oh my god, I exactly thought of that same thing.
Yeah. I mean, it still had the same, like, I wonder if, like, they pulled inspiration from that, because that scene is so badass.
Or how about in, like, Batman Begins, when they rip him away from the big fight, and they're like, he's like, I was fine. He's like, yeah, we're saving them from you.
Yeah. You know? Like, that same kind of idea.
I love that. That quote gave me, like, chills.
It's good.
The one from The Watchmen is, I'm not locked in here with you.
You're locked in here with me.
That's how he says it. It is Rorschach.
Rorschach. It's been a while. I haven't seen it.
Yeah, he's fantastic. Jackie Earle Haley. Yeah. Big fan of that guy.
So good. That's what I want to say to people now at Derby.
All right, so with that in mind, right, we do have the Nick Cage of it all. So let's get into the Nick Cage of it all. You have thoughts. I'm gonna come back to you, Loki. I'm gonna start with Murder here
because she
clearly has some Nick thoughts, and I wanna hear what we got going on.
I have so many. I'm almost mad at Nick Cage because I was so delighted by him. I was like kind of pissed off during this movie. I'm like, God damn it! Like this is actually like he's doing such a good job.
Right.
The first thing I wanted to state was I was entirely convinced that he was gonna fuck that pinball machine.
Oh, he was
the entire time. Jesus. Well, the entire time he's like wiping it down. He's like going around the knob.
And each time it got a little bit more,
like more sensual.
And then he has that big dance scene with it.
Yes, and then he like goes up to it and he's like,
like grinding on
Jesus
it.
Jesus Christ! I was like, is it gonna happen? Is it gonna happen?
Have either of you ever seen the movie Titane?
No, I don't think so.
A woman fucks a car in it.
Oh, yeah.
It literally has a baby with a car. That's a whole other story.
Wait, no. No.
Anyway.
So, there was, like, that whole thing where I was like, this is going to happen. I was waiting for it. And then he starts dancing with it. I was like, okay, close. And then I was waiting for the next scene for him to be just straight up fucking it. Anyway. Yeah. I really hated how well he acted without talking.
Yeah.
Because he portrayed, like, in my mind, at first, the first guess that I had was that he was also an animatronic.
Oh, interesting.
Like, I was, like, convinced at the beginning of the movie when he, like, because he, like, went up to that tow truck, like, with, like, no fear. Like, it's, like, he, like, walked up to it as it was, like, coming in like head on. And I was like, oh, he has like no.
He's a fucking T-1000.
Yeah, yeah, I was like, this dude's a robot. So, but then, you know, that pass fluttered. I think he's just like a dude that has like really bad obsessive compulsive disorder.
Probably.
And yeah. He, cause the whole entire time he just, every time he murdered some, like one of the animatronics, he cleaned himself up, he changed his shirt, he scrubbed his hands, he bandaged his wounds, and then he went back to cleaning.
With duct tape.
Yeah.
So good.
Beautiful. And then he went back to cleaning.
Yeah.
Like, and he cleaned that bathroom so well. I was so pissed at that gorilla.
Beautiful.
I was so mad at that gorilla for fucking that shit up. Cause I was like, ah, he did so good. But he just, like, he kept on going back to the mission. He was like, I was told specifically, this is what I have to do. I had to drink my energy drinks at this time. Every time I drink my energy drinks, I have to play this round of pinball. Like, yeah. He kept on incorporating different things into his routine and stuck to it so well.
Who knows?
I just really hate how much he made me like him.
Yeah.
I was
yeah.
really resentful the entire movie.
Yeah.
He
literally doesn't say a word.
He doesn't.
The only noises he makes are drinking the soda going,
yeah. Like, or like grunting from beating the shit out of the animatronic.
I have this Nicolas Cage quote about that from like a
oh, please.
Thing. Yeah. It was, I don't know, probably a panel of some sort. But he said, the dialogue for my character in Willy's Wonderland was very sparse. So I decided with Kevin, the director, to go full Harpo Marx and take all the dialogue out because I thought that would be a fun acting challenge. To see how much I could communicate without words and only with movement and facial expressions. I'm very happy with the results of Willy's Wonderland. It was a good experiment. And it sounds like Murder agrees begrudgingly.
I am pissed off about it. Like that one quote where they were like, oh, they wasted him because he wasn't talking. I entirely disagree.
That's correct.
I think that the reason why I hate Nick Cage so much is because he tries too much with certain things.
Mm-hmm.
He tries too much with the accents that he can't keep. He tries too much with, like, the raging Cage, like, outburst that he has. Like, that's always, like, a gimmick that he does in movies where sure. he's just like, oh my god, I'm gonna live! And it's, like, the same exact dialogue, the entire, like, yeah. rant in each of these movies. And I think that he, like, truly acted. Like, I think he just, like, let it go and let himself act where, like, I wish he did that more...
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it is directors. Like, the more I'm thinking about it, I'm like, maybe it is directors being like, no, we want you in this movie because of that thing that you do.
Sure.
Like, almost like he's being typecasted for himself.
Sure.
But I just really loved how he kind of just turned off all that, like, bullshit, try-hard shit and was just, like, an actual actor.
Yeah, he oozed cool in this movie.
Yeah.
Honestly, he was super
cool. I was upset because there was the one scene where he comes out of, what was it, a Camaro or a Charger?
I think it's Camaro.
Yeah. He comes out and I didn't know it was him at first.
It's not a Dodge. It's definitely a Chevy something.
It's a Chevy different. Something.
Yeah, there's a Chevy.
Yeah.
I think Camaro's right.
Chevy. Yeah, it's a Camaro.
What am I thinking? Challenger?
Challenger's Dodge.
That's Dodge as well.
I'm thinking about too many Dodges. I don't know. Cars?
Get Dodge out of your head.
I don't know.
Well, stop running your mouth about them.
I know it ain't a RAV4. I have one of those.
You know what it isn't? A Subaru.
Definitely not a Subaru.
So he comes out of his Nissan Versa and he stands up and it's just the side, like this like back side profile. So it's not like his full side profile. And I'm like, oh.
Uh oh!
And then it like pans to his face. I'm like, God damn it!
I had such a crush on Nick Cage, like when I was younger.
Yeah.
Like watching like the action movies that he was in,
mm-hmm.
even in Con Air.
Yeah.
With the flowing locks
when he's on the fire truck.
And I was like, do we find him attractive again in this? Like he does look like a hard ass, like a badass. We also appreciate a man who doesn't talk.
Yeah, I love a man who doesn't talk.
You know? No words, just action. Yeah. Actions speak louder than words.
Yeah, that was like the thing is not only did he come in to kick ass, not only did he drive the hell out of that car, that Nissan Versa Note.
Oh yeah.
Not only did he like get the job done, but he also cleaned. And who doesn't love a man who cleans?
He didn't just clean.
He cleaned. He didn't just like wipe it off with a paper towel. He scrubbed it, and then he like made sure that everything was in the perfect order it needed to be. And I love that for him. He was on a schedule. Love that.
That's also speaking to that OCD of the character too, right? Yeah. When he had the buzzer goes off and he has to take his break. And it's funny though, but it's almost
principle.
It's almost like though that he was following directions because the guy said, "Make sure you take breaks. That's important."
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it's almost like he was like, "I'm just following the directions. That's what I was told."
Well, that's the other thing too, is like when the kids came in and they were like, they're not going to give you your car back. Like, they put you here to die or live specifically. Yeah. It was like, I know what's going on here. And he just didn't respond because, like, he's like, I'm going to get my car back. Like, those are the rules.
Yeah, they
like,
said that I would. That,
but you can, like, feel that.
He said, if I clean, I will get my car back.
And he just, I mean, he wasn't wrong. Also, I looked it up because you made me second guess myself and that upsets me. It is a Chevy Camaro SS.
Dodge?
No.
Nissan?
No.
A Nissan Camaro.
It's a Nissan Camaro SV.
Oh, is that what it is?
No.
So, I think you've hit most of the positives that I wanted to cover, too, about Nick. Is there anything that anyone didn't like about Nick in this movie? Truth be told. I mean, is there anything that
bothered
you? I don't
like the way he swallows his soda.
Oh, yeah, actually, so I watched this movie with my wife, and we know that mouth sounds, like, kill her.
Misophobia.
Yeah, big time. And so she was like, oh, my God, he doesn't speak, but could he not drink like that?
And it's every time they get so close, and you can, like, see his throat.
You have the gulp, and then at the end, the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ugh. But that's probably it.
Yeah.
I think that's the only thing.
I thought the fucking deputy was a little unnecessary.
Yeah,
he didn't really add
any role, I don't think. Yeah.
It just, I don't know, he just didn't really do anything.
That's fair.
He gave that girl a ride, and that was pretty much the end.
I thought we were talking about what we didn't like about Nicolas Cage.
Oh, Nicolas Cage specifically. I didn't like how he made me fall
for
him.
His stupid face.
I didn't like that I liked it.
I didn't like that I found him attractive in this film.
I didn't like that he did a good job. It pissed me off. Mm. Yeah, none of the tropes that I usually harp on were in there at all.
What's funny, when we put together an outline for moving forward, I put a whole section in on discussing his voice and accent. And there's no voice in the first movie we picked.
First movie.
There's no voice and accent to discuss. So, you know, I mean, honestly, I enjoy him in this movie quite a bit.
Yeah.
I did have a note about the director and... I don't know where I wrote it, but I had a note about the director and him making a decision to cut the sparse dialogue that was in there.
Yeah.
So you already hit that too.
I think that was
too.
Such a good move.
It made it unique.
Yeah, so many people hated it.
Yeah, I mean,
it's so weird.
I think maybe if people are going in there looking for
classic Cage
over action, like he, I mean, like there's some quote unquote maybe overacting, but it doesn't feel like it because there's no verbal to it.
Yeah.
And honestly, I think his nonverbal cues are so good in this
movie.
Like, he says so much without saying stuff. One of my favorite actors, who sadly passed away really young, is Anton Yelchin. And Anton Yelchin, people know him from, like, Green Room, or he was Odd Thomas. He was Scotty in the reboot of Star Trek. I guarantee you'd recognize him.
Oh, yes.
He's in a bunch of stuff. And he was an actor from the time he was really young. And thing I always liked is he said so much without ever... Like, he speaks in most of his roles. But he says so much as well with just his facial expressions. And that's what I was thinking about. I was like, oh man, he is acting without saying a word. Like, he is conveying so many words without saying a word.
Yeah, I think he did such a good job at that.
Yeah. So, I mean...
And it pissed me off! And I'm mad about it!
So
Don't hit me!
Kind of wrap the discussion here, we have to get into our ratings, but... Before we even give the rating of this, we talked about kind of looking at everything we've covered up until now. And I grouped them as kind of the good, the bad, and the mixed. I didn't really, because I don't have the exact scores of all of them written down, but I remember based on them where we kind of stood. And at this time, we were all kind of in agreement, or at least the two of us in the episode you were on.
Can I weigh in now?
Yeah, you can.
Okay.
That Con Air was on the top of our list.
Perfect.
We enjoyed Renfield.
Yes.
And we all, which you were on, really enjoyed Army of One.
Yeah.
I
just watched Con Air for fun this weekend. So.
There you go. We didn't, neither of us, or our guests for that matter, enjoyed Ghost Riders that much. I think the second one we thought was fun in a goofy way, but not good.
Yeah.
The first one we were like, it's both bad and
so
not
trash.
Fun.
And the accent was so bad.
Trapped in Paradise, we were like, what the fuck is this movie?
Have you ever seen Trapped in Paradise, Loki?
I fortunately have not.
Oh my God.
So what's crazy about that movie is the worst accent decision, not by him, by Dana Carvey.
Yeah. Wow. Also, they're supposed to be brothers.
Oh.
Like, no, none of them look alike.
There's three guys who look nothing alike. playing brothers, and they sound nothing alike, and they're nothing alike.
They're all from 18 different parts of the country at the same time. It's horrible.
And that's then we, neither of us.
You'll love it.
You'll love it.
Neither of us enjoyed Mandy.
Did you watch Mandy?
I have seen Mandy. It made me really anxious, uncomfortable, and not because of the subject matter. I think a lot of it had to do with like the way that it was filmed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It felt like a fever dream. I also did not enjoy it.
So the second half
kind
of the movie,
a badass in it. Right. It's like a cool the chainsaw fight scene.
Right. When I like the second half of the movie, when it picks up and gets kind of nutty, it feels a lot like a Hellraiser movie because those bikers feel like Cenobites to me.
Yeah.
I always call them the Cenobikers.
Yeah.
But the slow plottingness of the first half, even though I like Andrea Riseborough a lot, I just couldn't do it.
Yeah. I think our mutual big things were it was too art housey.
Oh, very art house,
And then also it didn't have substance to it, like, at all. Like, the dialogue wasn't there until the end. Yeah. The plot wasn't there until
the second
end.
Half nothing. Doesn't make up for the lack of substance.
And in a lot of ways, some of the stuff that happens in the second half doesn't really connect to the first half well. I don't know. A lot of people love that movie. Just not either of our thing. And clearly you're not a big fan
not
either.
Really.
And then we were kind of mixed on. Of if we started with Unbearable Weight, which you love Pedro Pascal. I loved pretty much everything about the film. But a lot of the in-jokes were things that maybe you didn't get right away, too.
I had to look up a lot of things.
I actually didn't get to watch that yet, so I'll watch it. And then I can touch back on that.
Do you want a DVD? We have several.
No, I have it.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure we gave you one. Yeah. Or 10. There's definitely some left at the rink. I have none left in this house. Yeah. Well, I have mine. But I only have... Actually,
I keep finding them at the rink.
Yeah.
Like, every time I go to clean...
Yeah, whoever wins the Willy's Wonderland could end up with a copy of that as well. And Wild at Heart, I didn't think you were much of a fan of. I think it's fun and bizarre and Lynchian and... because it's by David Lynch. But... we were kind of mixed on that. National Treasure, neither of us hated, but neither of us loved, if I remember correctly.
What?
Yeah, we were both, I think, very on the fence.
Yeah.
Like, he rewatched it for the first time in, like, 10 years.
Yeah.
And then I watched it with, like, no context or love for it, like, at all. And I think that was why I hated it so much. Because I didn't have, like, a nostalgia to it.
Well, it was one of those movies where I thought I'd seen it before, and I don't even remember if I had. Because I watched it, and I was like... It doesn't really even feel familiar as I thought it did.
I for sure saw National Treasure. I think that when I saw it, when it very first came out, I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But like, I'm like, how old was I then?
Yeah. That's a big thing because...
I also watched it with my mom, which I watched many Nick Cage movies with my mom. She was a fan for sure. So like, it may just be like that little bit
talked
of it.
We talked about, you know, how we'll have to make sure, you know, that's kind of an episode where we... When we get to The Rock, the one that we have to kind of like celebrate your mom a little bit because that's pretty awesome. Peggy Sue Got Married was a weird movie. There were great things
loved
and horrible
it.
Things.
Loved it and hated it at
the
same time.
I appreciated watching it. I'm glad we got to experience that. I'm glad we got to celebrate Ducky's mom.
Yeah.
Right? But we were hit or miss on it. And then Color Out of Space.
Trash.
You hated it.
No!
You hated it. Raven was on that podcast, and she liked it. I just can't... I can't praise a movie directed by that fucker, so I am just not interested in it. But, so, my question with this film, and I feel like the answer is it's going to be in that top echelon. in that good, along with Con Air, Renfield, and Army of One. So, Loki, as our newest... panelist here. What is your 1 to 5 rating of this particular movie?
Okay, wait. So are we rating it as a film overall?
Or
are
we rating
it as a Nick Cage?
No, we go overall.
Yeah.
Okay.
Overall.
I'm gonna go. Fuck.
That's not on the rating scale.
Yeah, I'm torn. Can I go like 3.5?
You sure can.
Because I really enjoyed it. It's not the most spectacular film in the world.
Yeah, sure.
It's super fun, but like it's definitely not like. Top tier filmmaking.
That's totally fair. Yeah.
But I really, really liked it and I want to watch it again and I want to watch it with a bunch of my friends. So.
Intoxicated.
Yeah, like a little bit. You
like,
know?
Not enough to still pay attention, but like, you know.
Yeah, I feel like you can really get into someone beating the hell out of an animatronic when you got, like, when the inhibition in life is gone.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. That's fair.
That's perfect.
How about you, Mer?
I'm going to agree with Loki's rating. I would probably go a 3.8.
3 8.
Like, that's so weird. Like they'll make it weird.
Like it's not quite a 4.
Right.
Okay. It's not quite there, but I have to.
But like it's more than a 3. So that would kind of make it like a 3.5.
Yeah. No, it's more than a 3.5 though.
Oh, okay.
Well, I'm giving the 0.3 bonus points to Nick Cage for making me like him.
Oh, okay.
That's my present to you, Nick Cage.
When I never told you that.
I know you listen to this podcast.
Yeah. What if he does?
I have a whole story about that in a second, but not about Nick. But
yeah, it's like, can you give me that stupid bitch's address? It's a talk to her
password.
So I rate every film I watch on Letterboxd, and I gave it a 3.5.
Hey.
Yeah. And
do you agree with that still?
So yeah, I do. And I gave it, so we're right in that mark, that 3-ish, 3.5-ish mark. Maybe a little bit higher than a 3.5, but it's definitely going in the good category here of the ones we really love. And I wouldn't be surprised if it's one of the top of this year when we get down to it. Although our next episode, which we're going to talk about now, is going to feature my lovely wife because March is her birthday month.
Yeah.
And one of her favorite, maybe not one of, her favorite Nick Cage movie is Kick-Ass.
Oh, so good.
I love Kick-Ass.
So excited.
And unfortunately, Birder's just going to have to watch 3 Nick Cage movies in a row that she enjoys. But hey.
That's all right. It'll make for dark times during the holiday season.
So, before we wrap up, I want to remind everybody you can follow us on Instagram. You can follow The Farsighted, which is the site that I run that hosts the podcast, on Instagram, Facebook, and whatever Twitter's called this week. We're going to finally be putting the t-shirts I bought a year ago on our social pages. So if people want to grab one, as of right now, the only people besides the 3 of us that own them are family members and Ducky's mom.
Yeah, that's actually accurate.
that is, yeah. But, so that means I have quite a few in virtually every size. So if you're interested, hit us up. But I will make sure that there are pinned posts on all of our social medias on how you can get those. I want to make sure I say thank you to our new co-host, Loki. Welcome aboard. Babe.
Thank you for having me.
You're so welcome.
I think I'm going to retire.
Okay.
No, you're not supposed to say okay. You're supposed to be sad about it.
We were really hoping you would do that. I mean, wait, what?
Excited to be here. As coming in late, I will watch the films that I miss. Ooh. So if we circle
she's
back.
So good.
Right?
Yeah. If she's we so circle much back to like moments in those that I can actually legitimately talk. If I've seen them, fine.
Like you probably seen Con Air 300 times.
I don't know. 300 feels like a lot.
We do talk about
250
a lot though.
We did talk about how my kid is Cyrus the Virus.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah. So.
Like, obviously, I was a fan.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I do want to watch those. So that's my promise to you.
Awesome. Very cool.
Yeah.
It's too good for us. You're fired.
Either of you have anything you want to plug or mention before? I mean, this is coming out relatively soon. It'll still be early enough in the fresh meat season if people wanted to hop aboard maybe, right? Or is it going to be too late?
It's not technically too late yet.
Okay.
Yeah, so right.
Yeah, if we want to plug roller derby for a little bit here.
Yeah, February 4th is our first fresh meat practice.
Very cool. Yeah, and this is coming out right before that, so that's perfect. Yeah.
Yeah, so if you're interested in that, please email rrdfreshmeat@gmail.com.
I'll put a link in the show notes here.
And address your email to Dirty Deeds. She will tell you all the information you need.
Dirty Deeds.
And then also like us.
Oh, sorry.
It's fine. Like us on Facebook and Instagram and Threads. We have a Threads, apparently, that I forgot about.
TikTok
is popping. And then, we have our...
You say very casually our TikTok is popping.
Yeah, TikTok is popping. Most of the videos that have me in them have, higher likes.
Okay.
Yeah, look.
I don't follow you on TikTok. Sorry, guys. To be fair, I don't use TikTok.
Oh, you're not one of the 1,000 followers that we have.
Oh, actually, I might actually 1,000. Be. To be honest, I probably am one of the followers.
1,002. And then our bout season is about to start.
Very cool.
So the schedule will be posted shortly on all of our socials. So come out to that. Buy tickets in advance. We do sell out. That's not a marketing scheme. We absolutely sell out. So buy your tickets in advance. Also, I do want to plug another podcast that telling Loki about.
Yeah.
It's called Normal Gossip.
Mm-hmm.
It's fucking awesome. It's just two girls reading stories that people submit that it's like gossip that their friends, coworkers, sisters, cousins told them.
Oh, nice.
So it's like really removed and it's very interesting. And it's also a very interesting study of people.
So, very cool. Yeah. I'll have to check that out. This season of our podcast, this year in our podcast, we'll definitely have some crossovers with my other podcast because I have a new podcast launching called What Wouldn't Jesus Watch? About bad Christian movies, and we're going to have to get into Left Behind that Nick Cage is in. So that'll be fun. So we're going to have a Episcopal priest on this podcast with us at some point, because he is my co-host.
Oh, it'll be awkward.
No, he's not. He's like us. He's definitely much more like us. Not one of the weird, like, normal Protestants.
They're Episcopals like,
are like Catholics. They drink. Like,
we shouldn't say that.
Yeah. Do they do confession?
I don't know. We'll have to ask him.
No.
Yeah.
If they do, we'll have to do some on air right here.
Yeah.
While you're here, man, if you could just absolve me of my sins, that would be really cool.
So thank you guys for stopping by. We'll have some fun stuff this year. We'll have a lot of fun. And we hope, if you have suggestions on movies you want us to cover, or you want, or maybe you want to like tell us, hey, you should start a Patreon because we want to give you all our money. I'm into it. Just send me any info. I can't speak. I think I'm officially hitting the end of this recording, guys.
Because
I can't talk anymore. But thank you so much. And
what are you guys doing? Wait, what are we doing next again?
Kick ass.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Come back for kick ass. That's Woo-hoo! All I got.
Okay. Love you. Bye.
Bye.
Hey kids, do you know what time it is? It's birthday time.
It's your birthday, and we want you to have fun.
Weston, I'm recording a podcast.
I'm sorry.
You can't be in there looking through the food. You gotta give me like 20 more minutes.
Bean, and which one is
the... I couldn't tell you.
They're labeled.
We don't know.
I'm gonna make a note so I delete, because I'm not canceling the recording, but I'm gonna delete this stuff. Or maybe I'm gonna put it in the after.
Weston!
I'm trying to be quiet.
Yeah, but you can't come down in the stairs when I'm recording.
Yeah, you're trying to be quiet like your dad tries to be quiet.
Yeah, right?
It doesn't work.
He's like... Grab something and go upstairs. You can heat something up after I'm done. You gotta grab something. You don't have to heat up now.
It's like me trying to be quiet.
I will come get you the second we're done. Fine, take a slice of pie.
He's like, what?
Oh, child.
I am sorry. I was trying to be as quiet as I can.
I know, but it just don't work, bro.
Don't be sorry, babe. Be better.
You just don't do it again. I'm waiting. I'm not starting again until you get your ass up the steps, because when you go up and down the steps, it's like a herd of elephants. Boom, 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 boom. Get it and go. I'm serious. Move.
Go.
You can leave the pie out. I'm going to have some when you're done.
Yeah, I want some pie.
Leave it
out.
Grab a fork and get your ass out of here.
Just my ass warm.
Oh my God.
Oof, That's yours. You made that.
I did make that. I certainly made that.
Sometimes Cyrus will get things. I'm like, oh, man. That is my kid. That is my child.
Can't even like be mad because it's exactly what you would have said in that situation.
Bye.
Love you.
Go. Go. So I'm coming back.
What was that?
His mom's smoker's laugh.
Oh.
Okay, yeah. So what I was saying.
Oh!